services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 220. I'm Adam and tickets please. And here's Debbie Melrose.
You're just an ageing hippie, Professor.
Why is it all these quotes always directed at me? Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
This is the most exciting day of my life. My dream come true. I'm standing in the ring of the psychic circus.
And Debbie is just about to lend Mary Lang one.
Yes. Do one for me, Debbie.
So you've always been interested in the psychic circus, have you?
Always good to have a backup quote.
you could have used the one of my favorites. Oh, wow!
Oh, wow! Yeah.
It's our fourth birthday.
Hooray!
Happy birthday to us.
And it's your birthday too. Happy birthday,
Adam. Oh, yes, I forgot about that. Thank you very much. And thank you for the birthday messages. And no, thank you for the ones who haven't sent me any birthday messages. Thank you for the good birthday gifts. That will be from Maria Warren and Dennis Jones, who provided me with a massive mug, which I'll post a picture of. Mm-hmm. And Debbie Melrose, who gave me a cast-off. I mean, a TARDIS teapot. Which I jumped with glee and nearly broke the thing while jumping with glee.
Is there a picture someplace?
I posted that, I'm pretty sure.
I'll post it on Facebook.
In case anyone hasn't noticed, I just had to reboot this computer.
On there. You need a new computer, let's face it.
I need a faster internet connection, too.
Yeah, that will.
Kirby, it would not be recording without you rebooting at least two or three times.
No.
I don't reboot that often.
Anyway,
it's
our fourth anniversary, and our co-founder of the show, Miss Alicia Pearson, was begged to come provide some sort of contribution to this episode, and I feel that her only contribution will probably be parting from the room saying goodbye, see you this evening, or goodbye, I'll see you after work. So we might hear something from our illustrious co-founder, we might not. However, we have heard something from our co-founder's sister, which was sort of technically a co-founder, because she was around
when
the podcast started.
And you fell down to the ground.
But she didn't turn up till episode 4 or 5, and that's Isabella Pearson, who will now review the Sontaran experiment.
Well, being our fourth birthday issue, a fourth birthday 20 megabyte podcast would not be complete without Isabella.
Hello, everybody.
And today we're going to be doing a special bonus review of, because it's only two parts and you couldn't be bothered to watch a four-parter, of
Doctor Who.
No, the story. What's the story called?
The story of Doctor Who.
No, not the story of Doctor Who. What's this story called?
I can't remember.
Right, okay. That's a good start then, isn't it? Okay, right, hang on. If I press play and see what we get. Freaky chairs. Oh dear, is that you? Right then, so let's see, what's the title sequence doing as we talk?
The title was...
I'll see if you can remember. What was it about? What was the alien in it?
Gosh, right. I think I'm trying to remember.
I can see you trying to remember.
The Soton?
Just put your hands in front of your eyes when the title came on the screen. Right. Here we go.
Soton.
Right. What does that say?
Doctor Who.
And what does this say?
The Sonatan?
No. Sontaran.
The Sontaran Return.
No. Right. Here we go again. Right. It's the... I'll pause it.
Sontaran experiment.
Thank you. So we're going to be looking at and talking, or you are, the Sontaran experiment. So, right, it's already began with the title sequence. We got past that bit.
Dad, right, remember, we're leaving at 8:30.
Yeah,
morning.
Yeah, it's all right. That thing's there. Well, if you get a move on. Right, so what happens first then?
The doctor and, what's his name again?
Harry.
That's turned up in like these little round circle things, and Sarah didn't she landed really uncomfortable. She was like, ooh, like that, with her feet up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, then what?
And the doctor thought that his machines were broken, so he was trying to fix it. While Sarah and Harry were having a look around where they were. Then Sarah saw something that Harry thought that she was doing imagination. And then suddenly Harry fell down and with so many rocks, but there was no broken bones.
Oh, but I will let you know though that Tom Baker actually—that's Tom Baker there.
Yeah, so I know.
He broke his arm while filming this because he fell down and actually did break his arm. But so he had to carry on with a broken arm.
But that is really clever, though.
Yeah. What?
But Tom Baker is carrying on with a broken arm.
Yeah, on this bit he hadn't actually broken his arm yet, but I'll show you later on.
They're soldiers and they're scared of what was it called again? The
Suntaran?
Suntaran.
They're more scared of the robot that's...
So they had to really run away because they had no food at all. And so they were trying to find food and let the doctor know what happened to his friends.
Right.
Their mates. And this guy, he was trying to protect Sarah from that robot.
Right, yes.
So they cannot get caught.
Oh, I see, right, okay.
So, the guy told Sarah where the doctor was, and then the soldiers saw their friend and tried to find them, but he just disappeared, and then Sarah just quickly untied the doctor and they ran off together.
All right, okay. You've gone a bit fast. Bit
you're going
past.
A bit
no,
fast.
You've gone a bit past the bit that we've got up to. So at the end of the story, Sarah meets the Suntaran, doesn't she?
Yeah, she meets the Suntaran.
And she goes, Lynx! And it isn't Lynx. Lynx is the Suntaran that she met in a previous adventure.
Yeah, it was.
Look, see? Mm. What do you think the Suntaran
looks like? Star.
Yeah. So, Styre, isn't it?
Star.
I don't know.
Star.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay, but what do you think he looks like? His head. What do you think his head looks
like? His light, it looks like a bit like a balloon.
Looks like a balloon, isn't it? Not like a potato.
Well, a tiny bit like a potato balloon.
Anyway, right, so what's he doing? What's this Suntaran chap up to then?
So he wants to make himself die.
What?
He wanted to make himself die.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't. He was experimenting on the humans to find out their weaknesses.
Oh, yeah, they were.
That must have been one of the many bits you weren't paying any attention to. Anyway, Harry finds a bloke tied up against the rocks. What's wrong with him?
He's dying.
Why is he dying?
Because he's weak.
Yeah, why is he weak?
Because the Suntaran experimented him.
Yeah, what experiment was the Suntaran doing on that man? He was depriving him of something, wasn't it? What was he depriving him of?
The gun thing? I can't remember.
Water!
The water, yeah.
Yes, it was starving him to death and... dehydrating him, so you're seeing how long it takes before somebody dies from not eating or drinking anything.
This part.
Yes, what about this part?
Sarah saw a snake on this side.
Yeah.
And like goop.
Oh yeah, but it's not a real snake. She's got something attached to her head.
Yeah, like I'm not sure what it's called. What was it called?
I don't know what it's called, but it's something attached to her head to make her see things. Yeah, but it wasn't real though. It was in her mind.
Was in her mind.
Yeah, she was trying to see that he was doing a test on her in regards to fear and stuff, I think.
Yeah. That was his commander.
Yeah, what was the commander called? I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Stike, was it?
Stike, I think like it that. Was, yeah, Stike.
How convincing was the snake that was crawling up Sarah's arm?
I don't know.
Not convincing. In fact, you could when I was little.
It was not kind of scary.
When I was little, you could buy snakes like that in toy shops that were about were more convincing than that.
They're not scary. It's just like a puppet.
Yeah, it's because it is a puppet.
Yeah, I know.
And then what happened? What she's getting scared of now? Look,
that goo coming up her.
Yeah. Anyway, so
it's alive.
How does the doctor, who's this, finds her? How does the doctor stop
screwdriver? He uses sonic screwdriver to burn the metal thing, so like yeah. It's to stop what is happening to her. In her mind.
I think we're coming up to the bit where Tom Baker's arm is broken, because you see him doing a fight sequence and you cut his arms tucked up in front in his jacket.
Because he was like this.
Yeah, but you didn't know that until I told you. Right, so.
No, I remembered, Dad. He was like this.
You remembered,
the whole
do you?
Part of it.
Okay, so. Matty's about to die. What else? Yeah, the robots rounded up all the other spacemen soldiers.
One of the leader, so the soldiers, he put them like for 100%. They were.
You're talking about the weight.
Yeah, the weight thing. For it, the weight thing, and they were so it's so heavy it almost landed on his command. Their commander. Yeah.
Don't you think they could have easily got out of that one by carrying the thing so it's not over the top of the bloke?
Let's see.
Don't you think they could have actually sort of moved it so it wasn't going to land
they
on him?
They could have moved it. The side of it was that person there. He couldn't much hold on because he was not strong enough.
Okay.
But the person there on that side was strong enough. He lifted it up a bit more, didn't he?
Yeah.
But this one almost had it to his commander.
So how did he not get killed?
Because
he got distracted by the doctor.
Got distracted by the doctor.
That's right, because he had to antagonise him, didn't he? Get him to fight.
I remember. Well, Harry did steal a machine, and the doctor was.
No, so you can see his arms a bit.
Yeah. Harry runs out the rocks and went into his spaceship and tried to find the machine.
Yeah, what's he finding there? What's he using?
And the doctor's sonic screwdriver.
Yes. Come on.
And to open the door. And he went in and bet that machine controls Star.
Yeah, so what's up with the Sontara now then? Why is he all...
Sontara is like dying now.
He's tired, isn't he?
He's tired.
He's the doctor's... Well, look, that, you see, that's not actually Tom Baker there, actually. I think that's the stunt man. So when you actually see Tom Baker in a minute, you'll see that he's got a... broken arm here. Hang on, let's just take that back. I'll show you at me. So they all try and all the other men come along and
try to help the doctor.
See his arm?
Yeah.
He's got his tucked under his coat because it's broken. So there you go. So anyway, Harry
has stolen the machine and then the Sontara is getting really tired.
Yes.
Then suddenly, the machine. So like he was about to die, and his head was like going down like a balloon, like pop.
Yeah, we haven't got to that bit yet.
So,
because the machine blows up, yeah.
And his
whole body sort of flat, goes all flat.
Yeah, and his face as well.
Yeah.
But his hands were just perfect.
Were they perfect hands?
Yeah.
So what did the doctor say to the commander of the Sontaran fleet? It's him. What did he say to him?
Well, he said that I'll get you for this, even the Earth.
Did he? So what did the doctor say? The doctor said that it's not worth invading Earth, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what he said. And then they disappeared.
Right, so that was it. That was
and the soldiers waved goodbye.
Did they? So what did you think of the Sontaran experiment?
Not scary.
It's not about how scary a story is.
I liked it.
Right, what was the bit you enjoyed the most?
I don't know. I liked all of the bits.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you couldn't remember much about it.
Well, not much, but I tried to remember.
Well, you did watch it a week ago. And I think you were watching it, because I just left you in the other room to watch it.
I was watching it.
You were you?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Where are you going?
Dad, we've always got to go.
When we started doing the podcast 4 years ago, how old would you have been?
About six.
4 years. How old are you now?
Seven.
4 years ago, you would have been six, would you?
Four? Five?
I thought you were quite good at maths.
Five?
7 minus 4 is...
Wait. Three?
Yes, you were 3, nearly 4.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Anyway, thank you, Isabella. Goodbye.
You're welcome. And Daddy, we've got to go in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. The best podcast on the pod.
Very nice.
No, it's very nice. You've heard it. Anyway, right.
Right. Yes.
Therefore,
that's
the
kind
professionals.
Of a story for her to review.
Well, it's a two-parter. She that holds a two-parter to hold her concentration a bit better than the normal
length
story. So we're going to be looking in a more professional. I know you use the term professional. It's called a spot of the context.
Master.
What now?
I'm looking at the picture of that mug.
Yes.
And if I may say something.
Yes.
Doctor, look at the size of that thing.
There is a mental perspective. I had put it quite close.
Yes, Jamie.
In this modern day of selfies, I did actually put that quite close to the
It's still massive.
It's about the same size, actually, as this mug, isn't it?
Yeah.
This one. Yeah. Not far shorter. Oh, I thought that was a big mug.
I've got a big mug too, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because it looks like you're holding it close to the camera, so it looks really big.
Well, it is big. It's about this. Oh, never mind. We're talking about the size of mugs and teapots. Grief. Greatest show in the galaxy. Which it isn't. Right, let's go and start now. Episode 1. Do we need subtitles? Probably not. Okay, it starts with the title sequence, of which is not my favourite title sequence, unfortunately.
It's one of my all-time favourites. I love this title sequence.
And it's probably Matthew's as well, but for me...
Who's Matthew?
Exactly. So, it's actually talking about Matthew and Reese, who as you well know, got very cross when it was implied that he'd written a book of excuses. Whenever we didn't know he has. Because apparently he said they're not excuses, they're reasons. So, obviously, the entitlement of his next instalment is called Reese Parton's Book of Reasons.
Oh, right.
To be on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Right.
And Matthew's contributing again, or...
Yeah, well, I've got a
guest editor.
I've got a vibration. Trevor Gensch, or some
like that guest
Doctor
editor.
Who podcast. Perhaps something called The Doctor Who Podcast. And he's asking if my teapot holds an infinite amount of tea. And Ben Shoveler apparently will be on the show in about half an hour. So let's get on. Yeah, so basically it's a circus thing. Now, I have to say that I've never really been a big fan of circi. Is that them?
Circa plural, I don't know.
Although Blackpool Tower Circus is extremely good, but it's not in a tent. Anyway, so yeah, it's the music. It's quite sort of circus-esque, isn't it?
Well, in the commentary, it was funny because Mark Ayers is one of the people on the commentary, and when he introduces himself at the beginning of the first episode, he says that he's the one who drowned out everyone's dialogue.
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
And then, the author, what's his name?
Darville? Arthur Darville?
No. Stephen Wyatt is also the writer.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Also introduces himself as the man whose dialogue was drowned out.
Okay. Anyway, right, so we actually get a TARDIS interior shot, one of the last, and probably the last TARDIS interior scene. No. Oh, here we go.
No, there was
will
one...
I finish my sentence with the lights up? Yes, because it did appear again, but yes, they turned the lights down because the set had decayed so much.
In Battlefield, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. You try it, just... Well, not accepting my correcting you.
No, I need to because I hadn't finished my sentence. Stop flapping your ears. Right.
Sorry.
So, yeah, so we're in the TARDIS, and of course there's a little homage scene of Ace with the Fourth Doctor's scarf and a bit of costuming lying around.
So and you can tell.
Mel's
costume.
What's all this lot here?
That's Peter Davidson's costume.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
And then she comes out wearing Tom Baker's scarf.
It's a shame that that is the only interesting part of this story. I'm only joking. yeah, so that's quite nice. Of course, that's one of his scarves, because that's probably only the War in One series, because it's got the patch on it.
Right, I was about to bring up the patch.
Sorry.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, I do watch these things.
I love it when Nord turns up and dramatically eats a sandwich.
Yeah.
I'm a thug.
And the sort of strange robot-y thing appears, which has got a part of canine on it. No, it hasn't.
The invitation or something.
Yeah, it's a sort of junk mail thing. So it leads to them going to the
Warmwell Quarry.
Pardon?
Warmwell Quarry.
Yeah.
Endorse it.
I was about to.
So while they land, a couple of people seem to be on the run, running away from something. As we guess, it's probably the psychic circus.
Bellboy and Flower
They seem
child.
To be in love.
Yeah.
And the Doctor and Ace turn up at some stall.
It's one of the few actual kisses that one sees in Classic Who.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
And Mark Ayres was saying that he really liked writing a little bit of romantic music at that point, too.
Okay. Anyway, they turn up at this store where there's some revolting food on sale or available.
Yeah, rotting melons or something.
Just picking out. Can't remember her name, though. The actress.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Probably one of her last roles. I don't think she did much on that. And Nord, of course, turns up being very sort of comedy tough. No, basically, it's not real proper tough, it's comedy tough. And a bit like the characters in Silver Nemesis, you know, the skinheads who are being comedy tough.
But except he was a lot more interesting than that. Than
what, Nord?
Skinhead.
Yeah, he probably was. So he speeds off, and the Doctor and Ace bump into Mags and Captain Cook, the universe's biggest bore, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy Mount kept being in stuff for many years after, including a Tomorrow People.
I only said that so as you could correct me, because I felt really bad about the two previous occasions when you couldn't correct me.
Inspector Morse and Teabag Christmas Special,
yes.
And she got her OBE in 1996, which
Thank
is
you.
Quite a number of years after this.
Thank you. Anyway, right, so that's interesting scenery. Because a lot of this, this particular story was shot, there was a strike at BBC, so they improvised and did a really
No, there wasn't.
Oh, here we go. They shot it in a tent. A tent in a car park.
Yes, but not because of a strike.
Why was it then?
Asbestos.
Oh.
They discovered asbestos in, I believe it was Studio 5 at Television Center. And it screwed everything up. They decided to shut down all of Television Center and check the whole thing and remove all the asbestos, which means they had to shove all of the other productions around. This was canceled.
I knew there was a cancellation going along.
Yes, there was a cancellation, but they didn't want another Shada to occur.
Yeah.
And they figured out that if they put a circus tent up, at
Elstree Studios.
Oh, I thought he was going to carry on then. Yes, well, anyway, I was partly right then, wasn't I? They improvised. Anyway, meanwhile, the Doctor has a cup of tea, rather like we are, but it's, the buns are so big that it hasn't cooled down enough to be drunk yet. there's a bit of conflabbing going on, isn't there? Because they're all sort of heading. Then there's a robot turns up, and Ace beats it. What she beat it with?
I think it's just a
cocky sticker,
a spade or something. Oh, yeah, she just whacks it round the back of
the
head.
It's obviously very delicate robot.
Whisker turns up,
or as we know him, Adrian Mole.
Adrian Mole, yes.
We don't know him as Adrian Mole unless Mary does.
Adrian Mole, the two series he was in, also two of my favourite books of all time. was really, really good. There has been a couple of subsequent series of other actors.
All of the notes about this say that he was Adrian Mole, and I'm just going, okay, so what does this mean?
You need to read the Adrian Mole books. They're superb, and we sadly lost two Townsends.
The actor Gian Smarco. Okay, whatever.
I've got to correct you. It's Gian Smarco. Yeah, go on.
Fine. He's now a psychiatric nurse.
Is that because he was in Doctor Who? And
he was
in
the psychic circus.
They capture a distraught bellboy because obviously, he doesn't know at the moment that Flower Child's been...
Master?
No.
Master?
Grief. Yes!
The bus?
Yes.
It's the Delta and the Bannerman bus.
Is it?
Yes.
So it survived the crash then?
Yeah, it survived the crash. It survived being put on exhibition for, what was it, about a year between the two episodes. And stories, not episodes. And then they borrowed it for this, repainted it, and then eventually scrapped it. Which is disappointing.
Which is a bit of a shame, isn't it? Although when you said the bus, I thought you were going to say it was the Magical Mystery Tour bus for a minute.
I thought that too. Get the Beatles quiz book written by myself
at Amazon or on iTunes.
This and Delta and the Bannerman are two of my favorite Seventh Doctor stories.
Brilliant. And you can also get the Rolling Stones quiz book from the same outlets. Oh, sorry. And of course, the quiz book attached to our... top quiz show that you won't get this one, which is called the Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, written by myself, also available from Amazon and iTunes. Moving on. Right, yeah, sorry, did I interrupt Kirby then?
Are we ever going to get through this story?
Master?
What now?
Well, no, I'll wait until you bring it up.
Yeah, so Bellboy gets captured by these sort of clowns, and I do like the head clown, the chief clown, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's really good and sinister, and he does his little hand
Reddington,
motions.
Yeah.
Yes, he, not so good in Coronation Street, but he was good in this. Oh, hang on, Mary's going to flag up. Was he in Coronation Street? Well, yes, he was.
Well, who does he play in Coronation Street?
He plays one of Liz McDonald's previous boyfriends. Shut up, Kirby. when Liz McDonald was owned the pub, he was the co-owner, I think. Initially owned the club, didn't he?
Is he on now?
No, he's not been on for ages. No.
Okay, all right. Okay. Because I've only gone on to Coronation Street for about the last year.
Oh, then you won't know. You'll have to.
So I'm just.
Some,
yeah, when I saw
the. You'll have to watch those episodes where they go back through the history of Coronation Street and.
Yeah.
You know, those reminiscence episodes.
And I'll see it. Okay. All right.
I dislike clowns quite a bit, but this. He is a great clown.
He's fantastic. I just love his little hand motions.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which, unfortunately, this is an audio presentation, so you can't see Debbie's impression of it. She does a really good
Or my impression of it.
No, or yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
no, or Mary's. Mary's is great.
Yeah.
He's the best part of the story, I think.
He brings that sinister aspect, doesn't he?
He does.
The WizKids tank top, I've got pictures of myself with a Casio VL tone wearing exactly the same style tank top from about 1980.
Did you have the same glasses?
No, I didn't wear glasses until I was older. But interesting to say he's got a sticky bow. So it's got a mixture of sort of the Buggles glasses, isn't it? Sort of similar Buggles glasses. And Matt Smith, sort of, when he's got his blue shirt and tie on. Yeah, it's a tie, isn't it? Even if it's a dicky bow. So, anyway, it's got a bit of a weird ending, episode one, because...
Okay, you did miss it.
Was it Flower Child's earring?
Yes.
Yes, Flower Child's earring, which was in the previous episode called Continuity.
Already on Ace's
was
jacket.
Was always all over the place.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my job is done.
I spotted that when I was watching it.
You were beaten to it, and then you were beaten by it.
Ow! 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 Oh,
that is a weird ending to episode one.
Yeah.
Really. Just shutting down
shall
the screen
we or
noise.
Shan't we? Right, so that's a long... Look, 2 minutes they went back in, so they really needed to fill a bit of gaps there.
Before they
actually pick up the episode.
Needed some time.
And they also weren't paying a lot of attention, because you could see the chief clown starting to come out in the previous episode.
Okay. Yeah, also, and I forgot to mention about the robot conductor and his tickets, please, and hold tight, please, and stuff like that, which I actually quite like. That.
That sounds like a Flanders and Swans.
And also, I quite like the way that he winds his ticket machine and it shoots little things out of it.
And of course, everyone's going to, everyone's going to ignore the great Flanders and Swan.
Yes, they are. But anyway, what happens?
Last time I brought them up. Blah.
Oh, Bellboy does something.
I didn't know who they were.
No, I don't. Bellboy does something which causes.
Do you know who Flanders and Swan were? Right.
I think so.
Okay. I'll look it up later. Shut up. No, I won't, Magic. Thank you for that. It's the first time Magic's ever backed me up successfully on this show.
I do.
What was I about? The conductor Bellboy. Gets blown up, doesn't he? I can't remember how that happened. Was that Bellboy?
No.
Because he was about to kill Ace, wasn't it?
Kingpin. Yeah, Kingpin does it. Oh, Kingpin. Yeah, shouts how to do it.
What, are this?
Not in this episode.
That's in the last
episode. No, look, they're just carrying. I said it was in the last episode, if you listen. Because in the beginning of this episode, they're carrying the sort of destroyed robot back to get repaired. But it, isn't it...
the Doctor bamboozles it with...
Science.
And bus science.
Bus science. Anyway, that's the story. So they end up in the circus. They go and sit in the audience and then they're roped into the circus. But are given a little bit of time to get used to the idea and taken backstage and locked in a...
Ace commenting on the fact that the cheering has stopped and it's all dark and it's gone from being quite a fun-sounding circus to...
And you've got the creepy 50s family.
Oh, yeah.
So was the circus master actually American?
Yes.
Thought he was. He sounded quite real. Not unlike Nicola Bryant's famous version of the American accent.
That's Rico Ross.
Yeah.
He's been in Hill Street Blues.
Oh, is he?
He was Private Frost in Aliens before he was in this.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway,
he lived in the UK for a while needed a black American for
he might have been in an episode. Yeah,
And now he lives back in the US and still is in stuff.
Good. Anyway, so they're all banged up in a little cage. That's all of them. And basically, the captain is trying to manipulate things so that everybody else goes into the circus ring instead of him. The Doctor sort of escapes, doesn't he? And then he gets back in and he escapes. That happens a few times during the story. Of course.
Well, yes, it's Doctor Who. Have you ever watched Doctor Who?
Morgana puts on her fake alleged Russian accent, as well as it says in the info text. I don't know whether it's really supposed to be Russian.
I think that was my least favorite character.
Yeah.
It's Morgana and her accent.
Jessica Martin, who obviously was the queen in the Voyage of the Damned. That's her normal hairstyle, by the way, at the time. But I thought she was all right, considering she's more known for just being an impressionist, really, rather than an actress. I don't think she's done any sort of acting roles since then, other than being in comedy sketch shows and stuff like that. Anyway, I forgot to mention also these kites. Because obviously, at the beginning of the story, the kites have some sort of way of
are they for the benefit
people.
Of Mr. Kite?
Again, the Beatles quiz book available, written by myself from iTunes and Amazon eBooks. But, not my choice, my publisher's choice. So yeah, Nord goes in and shows how strong he is, but he's not able to tell jokes, unfortunately. And Simon Cowell obviously gives his verdict. It's quite interesting, isn't it?
Just zero.
Britain's Got Talent's on at the moment, and it's sort of they're a bit less cheerful than the judges on Britain's Got Talent. But never mind.
I like the use of the tent corridors with the lighting.
Oh yeah, and it's very effective. You do get the feel that you actually are sort of in a circus environment.
There's a reason. Although they had to shut down quite often because of airplanes flying over and delivery trucks coming in and all sorts of things.
I'm just going to justify my mentioning of Britain's Got Talent because, of course, David Williams is one of the judges and he's been in Doctor Who. Okay.
And the EastEnder people were very upset about all this because they were taking up the car park and they had to find other places to park their cars.
Yes, that's right. Oh, hang on. Co-founder of the show is coming down, going back up the stairs.
Magic.
Magic, for God's sake, we were just saying I was trying to defend you earlier on saying you don't fart during the show. And that's one of the worst bloody examples of your activity through your bottom.
You realise that if you hadn't mentioned it, the rest of us would.
No. We had no idea.
I'm not going to not mention it because you've got a brief to speak.
We couldn't help it.
Are you telling me a sweet, delicate little teenager like that can gross both of you out so much?
It's magic!
It was magic!
Oh, it's magic?
Yes!
It wasn't the co-founder,
though. I'm glad co-founder didn't hear you say that to Mary. There might have been a few F-words. Oh, dear.
Magic.
So, anyway, the Doctor escapes from the little cage thing with Mags, and they go in search of... Oh, she's back down again.
She's going in there.
Pizza! Pizza!
No, they don't go in search of pizza. They go in search of what the big mystery of the psychic circus is. Meanwhile, Ace has found a way into some sort of robot storage.
The workshop.
Of course, they turn the lights down, make it a bit more sinister and scary. The Doctor finds a pit where there's an eye. Now, this reminded me a little bit of the Lord of the Rings, a little bit.
Yes.
In some way. I wonder if they nicked the idea from the Tolkien books. And, of course, Cook turns up and he sort of dobbed the Doctor in a bit. Therefore, ending episode 3. We'll go back another 4 or 5 minutes back into the previous episode.
There is a Lord of the Rings connection. But
there is. Go on, tell. Oh,
that.
Yeah, I know. It's Sylvester McCoy. But he wasn't in Lord of the Rings. He was in Hobbit. No. What is it then?
No. It's Christopher Guard, who plays Bellboy.
He voiced
Frodo in the animated version of Lord of the Rings, the 1978 Ralph Bakshi version.
Well, there you go. Anyway, I do like the effect that when the Doctor throws...
Which we just finished watching a couple of weeks ago.
Did you? When the Doctor throws down one of his juggling...
Clubs.
Clubs, are they? Skittles. and the way it swings on the way down, that's a very early bit of Doctor Who computer animation.
Actually, they considered that to be an error because the Doctor actually drops it straight, and because of the way a club is, you could say it's
turbulence from the whatever was down there.
You could, yes.
And I did. Anyway, how's that C-3PO? C-3PO attacks... co-founder, have you got any words for our listeners? By way of... Don't get yourself caught. By way of...
No.
It's off. Bye.
I think she might have.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was the co-founder of the show.
Anyway.
I think she might have heard the.
She probably heard the.
Magic.
Implication.
It was you.
That there was her that caused the awful pong. Yes?
You should dig out, like you did for our anniversary show a while back. You should dig out one of the early episodes where she was so nice and enthusiastic.
She's nice anyway. She just doesn't want to
She's a teenager,
be on a Doctor Who podcast. But she's nice. She got me a birthday present this year. Very nice. Disaronno. The family that in the circus sort of starting to look a bit more sinister as we get to episode 3.
They look sinister when we first saw them.
Yeah,
what
but even more sinister. Because they're talking slightly more sinistery.
We meet
this chap here whose name was Deadbeat initially. And he's carrying a pendant, which is missing something, obviously. And he's a bit... Not quite
that
all there,
bothered
is
me. I couldn't exactly tell that it was missing anything.
Well, you find out later that it was missing something.
Yes, we find out later, and everyone seems to think it's missing something, but you can't really tell what until...
Well, if you look closer, you can see that... Star's having a little bit of a. She's trying to persuade magic to get involved in missing it. She's doing a dance. Ace flirts with Bellboy, but he's not interested because he's sort of in love with Flower Child. Does he know Flower Child is dead at this point? I think he's just guessing it, isn't he?
Nothing's happened yet, so he must have.
Plus the fact that Ace has the earring. It's a pretty good clue that there's something.
Yes.
Now, I love the lighting in that particular scene because it's basically real sunlight coming through those slats.
Yeah. I just realised that the woman selling the tickets is also a fortune teller. Why have I only just realised that? She's got a crystal ball.
A crystal ball.
Indeed.
Because she looks like a fortune teller?
Yeah, I forgot about that. But it's more like a gypsy, but I suppose...
And she's reading tarot when you see her the first time.
Fortune teller. I mean, stereotypical gypsies, rather.
Yes, and she presents the Hanged Man card.
Mm.
And and the doctor basically is in that pose in the fourth episode.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't make that connection.
I didn't make that connection either. Well done, Kirby. You've got something on me.
Well, Kirby really likes this episode.
Yes!
No, don't talk about what you think about it until the end, you naughty people. Otherwise, we'll be docking points before we start the quiz. Will you two stop snogging? The dogs are now snogging.
I was relying on Matthew to also be enthusiastic. Apparently, I'm going to be the only enthusiastic supporter of this story.
Sure about that. Anyway.
But Matthew couldn't be bothered because he's sick.
Yeah. Anyway, so meanwhile, WizKid goes into the circus room. Unknowingly.
Where are the bathrooms if he's WizKid?
Unknowingly that he was going to end up being, I suppose, zapped is the word that... we could use, really. What was that from last week? Wasn't it zapped?
Zap, yeah.
That's what Tegan says.
Oh, it's Tegan says it, that's right. Oh, yes, and the robots are all sort of repaired. And...
Bellboy asked them to kill him the way they did Flower Child or something.
Yeah. And they do, don't they?
Flower Child isn't killed by these robots. Flower Child is killed by
a robot.
Yes.
Made by... Bellboy?
Made by Flower Child. By Bellboy, yes.
Yeah. So therefore, oh, never mind. I'm not going to argue with you. Basically, it's one of his robots kills Flower Child.
Yes.
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 Be quiet then. So anyway, yes. So there's a very long build-up to the Doctor ending up in the circus ring while a moon-shaped light is shown that suddenly triggers some very awful makeup on Jessica Martin.
Wasn't that bad?
Oh, yes, it was.
Really cool. Hang on, what's happening there?
It's so cheesy looking.
Well, it looked more like little sweets that they'd stuck to her chin. Anyway, so yeah, again, a long, long drawback. This is really padded out. There should have been a three-parter, this one. And the Doctor tries to control her, but I think she ends up killing Captain Cook.
Yeah, she kills Captain Cook.
Yeah. Yeah, she doesn't want to, but she can't help herself.
And the repaired conductor's been taken back to the bus.
Yeah. And, so the Doctor eventually, because that's where they get more sinister. See what I mean? You see their green eyes in episode 4 to show that they are really, really sinister. And the Doctor, so he goes through some curtains, suddenly. I know I'm skipping through a bit here, because it's just... not much going on.
Well, Deadbeat gets the eye back.
That's right. We've got Deadbeat gets his little bit of. Where does he find that?
Ace finds it in the bus.
And
can't get it open until the conductor steps on it.
Ah, that's right. So
then there's a really dramatic Deadbeat
then becomes
fight getting it on the head.
That's right. And the Doctor goes through the tent. Side of the tent bit, isn't he? I thought he was going to jump down the pit, but he gets to the...
It took quite a while to get through there.
Yeah, we're looking at the ribbony things. anyway, so events. It's quite a good set, actually, where the
Gods of Ragnarok
are sort of sat. And I've seen them, actually, in a Doctor Who museum somewhere. They're a little bit smaller than they appear on the screen.
And there's no back on them, so they had to be careful with the angles.
So
the girl is not the girl actor, although the other two are the actor.
Oh, okay.
The mom and dad are the actors.
Mm. Mm. So this allows Sylvester McCoy to do a bit of his sort of part mime, part magic training that he did for the story, and he was trained by Debbie.
The great Soprendo, Jeffrey Durham.
And Great Soprendo was married to...
He was married to Victoria Wood.
I did say was. and they won't know who the Great Soprendo or Victoria
Wood. Yeah, I don't know who any of those
Wasn't
people
he on Crackerjack?
Probably, yeah. Mm. And
I like most of his tricks, but I get so tired of a dove pan because it is so obvious how it's done.
Okay.
That, I mean, in this case, it's a snake pan, but it's that that apparatus is called a dove pan.
Okay, thank you, Kirby. So it basically is just a platform for McCoy to do his sort of McCoyisms. But oh yeah, we get the zombie Captain Cook. Yeah. Don't know that happened, but now it's turned into a zombie story.
In the early drafts of the story, it was always intended that one of the characters was going to come back,
yeah.
And it ended up being Captain Cook, kind of at the last minute.
Okay, sounds like a Moffat story,
which is kind of ironic because he's the one character who did not want to be involved.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think the Doctor manages to destroy these gods of Ragnarok by deflecting their rays
the
back at them.
Doesn't the director voice the third god of Ragnarok?
Yes.
Alan Moore.
No,
yes,
more than me. Well done. So basically, the Doctor, and the very dodgy, decides to wobble
away.
Well,
no, he deflects them because of the fact that now that Ace and what's the new name of
Mags?
Kingpin?
No, Kingpin.
Yeah.
Had managed to get the eye down to the Doctor.
Yeah, because they run out of Q's and Z's. It's like having one of those dodgy blimmin' Scrabble sets, isn't it, where your letters are missing. Everyone all quiet, so that must have been a good joke. I like this scene. The scene where he walks away from the thing and he explodes behind him. You see him blinking. He's all, that was a bit close, but he still carries on.
That's because it was a larger explosion than
More or less that.
I like the Storm Lady. She's brilliant.
You like it?
Yes.
I like the
Such
horse.
An old cynic.
I think the horse is the best actor in the whole thing. And then the model tent collapses, and then it's a very abrupt ending, actually. It's similar to the Day of the Daleks, the way it ends abruptly like that. But there we are. That's the greatest show in the galaxy, which isn't.
Yes, it is.
And I shall now give my views on this story. Right. When I sort of put it in, I thought, I hope this is a three-parter. And then I thought it was a four-parter. I went, oh, God. So I stuck it in and said, well, I'll watch it. And shut up. There are elements of it that I like. I thought Sylvester McCoy is very good, apart from he's a bit over the top with his when he's doing his circusy stuff. But it only has to be. He's trying to be entertaining for the gods of Ragnarok. But on the whole, he's very good in this one. This was reminded me how much I really don't like Ace that much as a companion. And I struggle to think of a story in which I like her character. Maybe in the Ghosts of Fenric. I might like her in that a little bit. But on the whole, I just don't like Ace, and I always thought it was McCoy I didn't like, but I didn't like McCoy much in his first series, but in this one and the third one, and they got a rapport, they got on really well, and it's nothing to do with Sophie Aldred. I like Sophie Aldred, but the character of Ace, not that keen on. I think she's too over the top, unbelievable sort of teenager person, even though she's an adult playing a teenage role, which has happened loads of times in the TV. But I'm trying to think about the story. It's okay, I suppose. I don't like the circus, you see. I'm not really a circus fan. So watching a story set in a circus is a bit tedious for me. I like Jan Samarco because obviously I like his connection with Adrian Mole. I thought Jessica Martin was very good. Some of the robots went well made and well acted. I think they wouldn't look out of place in modern Doctor Who. I thought they were quite good. I do like the ticket, the conductor. I thought he was quite funny. But I say, if I will only watch this story if I have to do it for a review thing. So I'd say, unfortunately, I don't like it that much. But it's not the worst thing ever. It's bearable, but and it's certainly better than my two least favourite stories, which, of course, are Sensorites and The Web Planet. But on the whole, I'd say I don't like it that much. Yes, Kirby!
What did you think of it when you first saw it?
I didn't like it that much.
Okay, you did watch it back on the first broadcast.
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't like it that much, but of course, it was just a case of watching it and wondering how the Doctor was going to get out of it, a thing like you normally do when watching Doctor Who for the first time. There you go. Yeah, so who should we go for next? Debbie!
Well, I was about, how old was I when this
aired? I don't know.
Two, three? No, 12. And I remember it from the first time round being utterly afraid of clowns. I don't have a clown phobia, but it's enough to freak me out again, having watched it again. I like the story. I felt it wasn't, it didn't go as smoothly as some of the more classic episodes of Who. I just found it was sort of stopped, started. I know they were making use of the tent beautifully, but it was just, if you missed a bit and you went back to watching it, you didn't know exactly where you were in the story. Mm. It didn't flow as well as I'd remembered. And yeah, I thought the chief clown was utterly creepy, utterly scary.
He was good, I've got to mention him.
But he really did bring the whole circus feel to life, because of the other, like the circus master and the ringmaster and the very, very odd fortune teller. I didn't really enjoy her quite as much. But I didn't like the way they got their comeuppance. They were just sort of put into wicker baskets, turned around a bit, and voila, gone. Yeah. That was a bit abrupt. But
yeah, it was so abrupt I missed it.
I forgot to mention it.
Blink and miss, there you go, they've gone. But it was great to see some good classic British actors in it. Having now watched it again as a grown-up, it was good to see some people that I recognised.
Yeah, keeping McKenna.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, just,
that's about it, really.
But as a story, I didn't enjoy it as much as I'd say I'd enjoy, say, like the more early Who. It was at the point where I was starting to go, it's a bit kiddie. It felt a bit more like a kids' programme. Mm. There wasn't so many nods, even though there's the grim werewolf thing.
Mm.
It just felt to me this time round that I was watching an actual kids' programme rather than something that was designed for both adults and children. But on the whole, I quite liked it.
Yeah, it reminded me of what I said about the music earlier on, which was pretty good, actually. But it's like he's taken traditional circus music and just rearranged the notes a little bit.
Yes.
Just to avoid copyright problems. But it's still really good.
It's atmospheric, really good music, atmospheric programme.
Unlike a lot of the music of this era. I know Alistair Pearson has the soundtrack of this particular story, which I think he loves more than the actual story itself, which says something, doesn't it, really? But it's okay. I mean, I'd say it's okay. What do you think, Kirby?
Do you really want to know?
You don't like it? Okay. Mary, what do you think?
He loves it, don't like it.
I love this story. Let me tell you why and a little bit of my history with this one. For a long, long time, I had heard that this was not all that great a story, but it was intriguing to me because even though I don't necessarily like clowns, I like circuses, and I love Doctor Who, I love Seventh Doctor, and this DVD wasn't available for a long time. It was one of the last ones, I think. When did this come out? 2012 as DVD?
I could tell you, but the disc is in the machine at the moment. So.
In 2011, exactly 3 years ago this month, I attended my first Doctor Who convention, and the guest of honor was Sophie Aldred.
We like Sophie. She's nice.
Yes,
I've seen
she
her
is.
In real life, 2012 and, was the answer.
And one of the events they had was a bootleg copy of Greatest Show of the Galaxy. They picked, I believe, episode 2.
Yes.
I could be wrong, and had her provide live commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw, and from her stories of what was going on, it was just fascinating. So I went into this enthused by her enthusiasm towards it. And just as soon as the DVD became available, I snatched it up. And I just loved the story. I loved
snatched it up. Did you get arrested? Or did you manage to get away with it?
So your love of it has more to do with these other experiences, not so much because of the story.
Yes, that's a good point, Mary.
I enjoy the story. It's good. I don't understand.
I'd say it's okay.
You people keep going on and all these things you have against it.
Mm.
I'm not understanding because it's really good. It's not one of the greatest. No. It shouldn't be dismissed as one of the worst stories ever.
I never said it was one of the worst. It's okay. I mean, if you judge it with a lot of the other McCoy stories, it is probably one of the better ones.
Yes.
But as a Doctor Who story, not that good. But unfortunately for Sylvester, the only really good stories of his era were his last series. And three out of the four were really, really good.
And speaking of one of those stories, Survival was filmed in Wormwell Quarry.
You said that earlier on, didn't you? I'm pretty sure you said that.
Wormwell Quarry is where this story was, the location shots were filmed. But they went back to it the next year.
Oh, okay. Sorry, carry on, Kobe. I'm just reiterating my point.
I'm done.
And here we go. Drum roll. A circus drum roll, in fact.
We can now hear Mary trash it.
Now, this is a circus drum roll for Mary Land.
Well, I did not see it recently, so what I am operating from is having seen it many months ago, maybe even a year. And I've seen it twice because I was so creeped out and confused the first time that I did a little background reading and got the DVD where I could watch the extras. You know, it's kind of like Ghostlight. You know, it's like I had to go to all this side material to appreciate it at all because I didn't the first time. And it helped some. But, you know, it's creepy. It's just creepy. Yes. And, you know, I don't love circus. I mean, I do like circuses, but clowns are creepy.
Well, that's why it's creepy. It's the whole idea of why they got clowns in it.
And the chief clown, you know, which I admire his performance, is the creepiest.
Mission accomplished, then.
Yeah. Now, on the positive side, it's visually beautiful. It's very, you know, lovely filming and the color and the direction. And the performances are wonderful, but it's creepy. it isn't what I watch Doctor Who for. And I have to say that, you know, the relationship between the Seventh Doctor and Ace, which I have not liked in any of these, I agree with Adam. I've become a little spoiled because I listened to Big Finish, and their relationship in the Big Finish stories is wonderful. But you look at them in the televised stories, and it's like the Sixth Doctor with Perry. You know, it's always pick, and criticize and put down. And you know, I don't like that kind of a relationship. And I agree with Adam that Ace is a little over the top in these episodes. So I don't care for her character either. So, you know, putting aside the main characters, what I've got left is a creepy story. And it's confusing. I agree with Debbie that there's so many things that just happen abruptly, and things just seem to come out of nowhere. People go away for no apparent reason. And that's just it. One word. Creepy.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the camera, I must admit, Flower Child, I thought she was quite pretty, and it's such a shame she was killed off. Not necessarily because she's pretty, but she was an attractive character, and initially you think, I like that. You've got a person on screen that draws your eyes to the screen.
Yeah.
And then they kill her off.
And they kill her, yeah.
Pasta?
Yes.
Well, a couple of things with Flower Child. First of all, her costume didn't fit, and her shoes didn't fit.
Is that the way killed her off?
She had quite a bit of difficulty going through all that sand and stuff, which was...
It must have been because Wardrobe did not like her. They killed her off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, maybe so.
Masta?
Yes?
When Fred and I watched this a week ago, and she absolutely enjoyed the story. She really liked it.
Mm.
Of course, then Dad's sitting next to her, gushing about everything.
No, I wasn't. I was completely quiet. And it was interesting because we've tried watching next week's story, Doctor Who and the Silurians, and she's completely given up on it. And I'm going to have to slog my way through it because I'm not liking it.
Okay. Well, that basically sums up a sort of mixed reaction to Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
I wish we knew what Matthew thought.
Well, we might find out in a minute because he has written a Bible on the subject, which Mary can read out in due course. What I'd like to do now, on our fourth birthday episode, is introduce to you and the listeners, Mr. Ben Shoveler!
Hello.
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 All the better for hearing you.
I've got my grumpy trousers on.
Why? Because Man City won the championship? I thought we'd be pleased about that because it meant Liverpool didn't win the championship.
Oh, exactly, yeah. No, that doesn't bother me at all.
Great, Kevin.
Anyway, while you're on, Ben, I've just been discussing Greatest Show in the Galaxy. Can you remember that one?
What? I do, but firstly, yes. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Ben. Is that for me or the show?
Both.
All right, thank you very much. So technically the show's birthday tomorrow when the podcast is supposed to go out.
Happy birthday tomorrow, today, yesterday, and in all different permutations of whichever day it is, birthday happy.
Thank you. Sounds timey-wimey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly what it is. Yeah, Greatest Show in the Galaxy. I have mixed thoughts about it.
Yeah? Can you remember it?
Yeah.
When's the last time you watched it, do you reckon?
1987.
No motivation to watch it since then, huh?
Well, to be fair, Mary, I wasn't actually planning to come on today, but the reason I have come on is because the damn swimming pool really annoyed me, so I had to get out. I got so annoyed in the pool, I had to get out because I couldn't swim.
Well, there's no water in it.
No, it wasn't that. It was the fact there was too many people in it. They roped a quarter of it off to let some people do some aqua aerobics down the bottom, and then the other side of it off for some kids to come and do swimming lessons. There's about 90 people trying to buzz up and down. Oh, don't worry about it. It's really not that
I had a swimming pool disappointment myself at the weekend. Isabella wanted to go swimming. She specifically wanted to go swimming on Saturday. So I took her up to Medina Leisure Centre and they said, oh, no public swimming till 1 o'clock. So I took her down to Sandown, the Heights. Oh, no swimming till 11 o'clock. This is like 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not sitting around in the car park for 2 hours.
You realise that you live on an island, Adam, and
surrounded by water
all around you. Anywhere you want, mate. Seriously, I mean, you're only about 3.5 minutes from the sea, no matter where you are on the Isle of Wight. So,
true. If I jump in the
end of the dock and drop her in.
Yeah, exactly. You could have quite literally picked her up and thrown her into the water. <sea. laughs>
I could just run a bath for her. That probably wouldn't have done the trick. But anyway, that's basically it for Greatest Show in the Galaxy. I suppose we could move on to a bit of feedback.
Oh, you want to hear my review of it?
Oh, sorry, I thought you'd done it. No, you do your review on it while I load up the facility, this high-tech facility for feedback. Come on, Ben.
All right, shall I go now?
Go now.
The facility. Okay.
It was all right.
There you go.
Hey, you've missed that.
I knew that was worth waiting for.
I haven't done that for ages, actually.
True.
I'm proud of myself for remembering something from 2 years ago.
Legendary catchphrase. Right. Okay. Feedback. This is from, hopefully everybody can hear this. So I'll give it a go. This is quite a lot of feedback this week.
Well, good morning. Just make it 20 minutes. I know, it's actually afternoon. It's just turned 12 o'clock, 12 noon on Saturday afternoon. So it's afternoon. So of course it means I can have a sip of my wine. Nice glass of Pinot Grigio there. And the weather is very mixed. But there you go, Mary. That's the wine and weather done quickly. Greatest Show in the Galaxy. Very slow-paced story this is, but that's not a bad thing. It's not an action-based story. This is very much a psychological drama. Understanding what's going on within Ace's head, within Bellboy's head, within Deadbeat's drone Kingbin's head, within Mags and Captain Cook, but most importantly, what's going on inside the Doctor's head, because he really was running the show by the end. He had understood what was going on with the Doctor Dragon Rock, understood how to beat them in the circus below. And that's why it's one you have to concentrate on. You can't just sit back and let it flow, because it doesn't really flow. There's a lot of strands to this story. it's choppy and changing from scene to scene. You've got different things going on. You've got what's going on in the ring with the ringmaster. You've got what's going on with the doctor. You've got Ace. They're being split up. All these different strands working together. That's why it's an absolutely fascinating story for that. Now, there are some good comic turns at the moment, like when Ace is shuffling through trying to find a rucksack. He pops out with the fourth Doctor scarf on.
Pops out.
Don't know if he knew what it was. Probably didn't. Also, where did that advertising spot go? It disappeared. And then, where did he go? What did he do with it? Did he just dematerialise? You don't know. However, music was very good as well, very atmospheric. It was very very light touch music, not heavy, because sometimes when you get cyclical dramas, you can... Oh, Kevin Peterson just hold out to mid-off. Silly boy, because he got rid of him. Yes, the music added to it. It added the... It was behind-the-scenes music. It wasn't up in front of you. Therefore, and also, there was a lot of silence there as well, which I think was very good.
Silence, you didn't see the silence?
When, again, you could focus on what was actually going on, what were people doing and thinking. You've got Peggy Mount, who, in a way, plays the role of the chorus. I do study quite a bit of Shakespeare, and the chorus is like the everyman character, who is really the audience. It's that, you know, we can take the place, we can watch and comment. And that's what Peggy Mount was doing. She was central to the plot in the fact that she was commenting and observing it rather than actually playing a real part in it. Because, you know, to be honest, the only time you ever see her moving was right at the end when the circus itself had blown up. Now, I suppose this comes to the best bit of it all was that piece at the end when the Doctor walked away from the exploding circus. He knew it was going to be one hell of an explosion behind him.
Not quite as big as that, though.
And he doesn't even bat an eyelid. I mean, that is just wonderful. Yeah. I think McCoy was... He was a very good Doctor, and it's just tragedy, in a way, that the Doctor came to an end here, because what you saw here was the way it was going to go. You got away from the clown and the cop... Well, you saw the clown, rather. You got away from just the pure comedy and the crap that was his first series. When it's moving to the end, it was a lot more psychological, it was a lot darker, a lot deeper. The initial, of course, was stuffed against blooming Coronation Street, so we never had a cat in hell's chance of actually doing anything, did it?
No.
That's why, because Michael Gray didn't like it.
Exactly.
Wanted to get rid of it. Of course, you know, we'll never know how Andrew Cartmell, he said he had his plan, how he would have moved it forward.
We've done on show twice. Discussions
about this, how we could take it forward. But it was the Doctor, because he was a small character, he couldn't be an action hero. He wasn't like Tom Baker was, you know, a big bloke. He had to be small, therefore he had to play on the psychology of people and play mind games with them. And, you know, that's what Ace complaining, you know, he was playing mind games a lot of time. Look at the last few stories, you know, only take Ace to the home, that country's home. Look what we did with her. It's fascinating. You know, you have to think, where could this story have gone? And The Greatest Show in the Galaxy, it had its flaws. I mean, some of the characters, the fanboy, I guess, was supposed to be us. Yeah, well, I'm insulted, that's us. But you have people like Deadbeat and the way he came back and turned back into Kingpin. Although he could have done a bit more when the bus conductor was hacking Ace. But what you saw said was the psychology of the Doctor, and I think in a way you see that in what Matt Smith does. He does the same as well. So all in all, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a very good story. I watched it over a couple of nights and also this morning finishing the ironing. Just finished it now, and yeah. Anyway, we're off now to see the Mighty Quins take on Bath in the shootout to get into the Premiership playoff. That's a rugby sport, so brief
fantastic.
Sport as well.
I'm
so
a Quins fan.
Thank you, Kevin. And that's it. So. Be seeing you.
I love the way you said thank you, Kirby. Just Kirby snort.
Cheers, Kirby.
Excellent. Scripted, yes.
Getting back, we didn't really discuss WizKid that much, but when I was watching with Fred the other night, she did turn to me and say, "That is you."
Yeah. Okay. I think John Smarco played a very good character in that. I like his character.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are like that, Doctor Who fans. If you go to events, you know, some aren't, but there are a lot of that are like it. And I thought it just paid homage.
That's why I wanted Matthew on.
Yeah, well, because he's exactly like John Smarco. Anyway, that was Andy Nunney, by the way, everybody. Thank you, Andy.
Oh. Thank you, Andy. Well, he's starting to sound like a real reviewer, you know?
Yes, I just love the way he knows what Kirby's going to say in the middle of the
Thank you, Kirby.
Anyway, I've got Billy Kirkbright from Australia.
Is he going to thank Kirby?
I don't know, we'll find out eventually when it starts playing.
If he doesn't, we shouldn't have him on again.
With just a few thoughts on that story, Greatest Show in the Galaxy. Well, okay. When Sylvester McCoy came along as a Doctor, despite my still very keen interest in the show, I found much of McCoy's era quite hard to endure. As stated by Annika Wills in one of the extras on the DVD, this is what she said. By the time the 80s came along, or the late 80s, Doctor Who faced its darkest hour, with criticism coming from fans and the press alike. How very sad was that? Anyway, Greatest Show in the Galaxy. I've got mixed feelings about this particular story. I thought it was far from its the description of its title, Greatest Show in the Galaxy. In fact, it was far from it. I think this was mainly due to the fairly average production value, with a combination of annoying actors, annoying characters, such as Wizkid and Nord. And I didn't particularly warm to Sylvester McCoy as the Doctor. That, for me, that took some doing. As I watched this story, the wife came in and asked me, "Is that Doctor Who you're watching?" I said, "Yes, it is." And then she said, "Wow, it looks even cheaper and tackier than usual." Such cheek. She's not a Doctor fan, by the way, so she just doesn't understand. But anyway, I did jump to my defence saying that Doctor Who is indeed the best TV programme in the world, and who are you to say that? I can afford to be dogmatic, I'm right.
Yes!
Anyway,
going on to some good points of this story, I thought the plot was a cracker. You know, the concept of a circus and clowns, something that brings happiness and joy to kids, yet underneath there's an evil and sinister objective. How creepy is that? It was great acting by Ian Reddington as the chief clown. What a fantastic performance that was. And of course, I loved Jessica Marsden, who played Megs, particularly in her fishnet stockings. Wow.
She's actually nicer looking now than she was then.
Despite the negatives, like I said, I've got mixed feelings about this particular story. And I'll go as far as saying this, that this story was probably, for me, I thought, one of the better ones of the McCoy era. Okay? Have a fantastic day. Take care.
Thanks, Kirby.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Billy.
Kurt writes there, agreeing with what I was saying, basically. Yes, Kirby, did you want to intercept anything?
No.
Or interject, even. The right words might help. This is from somebody called Philip Cerner.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. Sorry, it's Dr. Phil in my car sitting at a railroad crossing, so sorry for the noise. Anyway, I'm sending in some belated feedback as I'm marathoning your three latest episodes to get caught up. And one of the things I wanted to comment on was State of Decay. Now, Kirby is right that State of Decay is Patty Kingsland's first complete score for Doctor Who. Patty Kingsland had fallen ill during the production of the score to Megloss, so Peter Howell took over part of that score, so that one is really credited to both of them. And some comments on the Radiophonic Workshop and Dudley Simpson, for years before Series 18, had commented that when using synthesizers, that often in Doctor Who was meant to represent things that were unearthly. And so the using of synthesizers is not that unusual at that point. And also the reason for picking the Radiophonic Workshop to do the scores, if you've watched any of the documentaries on, say, the Leisure Hive disc, which is a lot of archive interviews with John Nathan Turner, as well as his Big Finish memoirs. There you go. There's the Big Finish reference for the day. Probably a few more coming, actually. So the funny thing is that John Nathan Turner complained about everything sounding kind of samey in the last couple of seasons of Dudley Simpson scoring the show, and there's a good reason for that, because of the fact that he actually was not able to use the Radiophonic Workshop in Series 17. So that ends up being a problem for that, but it's interesting that Mary said that everything during the Radiophonic Workshop era sounds the same, and I have to disagree a great deal with that, because if you put Patty Kingsland's music up against Peter Howell's, against Roger Limb's, they all sound very different from each other. And even within Series 18, which by far for that group of composers and musicians at the workshop is probably one of the most ambitious seasons musically since, you know, any of the heights that Dudley Simpson reached. Now, unlike Kirby, I didn't particularly care when I, well, this is what I should say, when I first encountered Series 18, I didn't particularly care for Patty Kingsley's music because I saw Hitchhiker's Guide just before this, and I thought, well, it just sounds like Hitchhiker's Guide, and, you know, I was 11, 12, so, I can't say that my tastes were particularly sophisticated at that point in my life, and I can't even say that's the case now, but anyway, but his music's grown on me a great deal, and I think State of Decay, one of the things that Matthew brought up about his comments in State of Decay, one thing that I think I would like to expound on real quick is the fact that when the original script was written with Tom Baker's Fourth Doctor and Leela in mind, it was kind of at the end of a sequence of stories and series where you had references to, as opposed to having direct connection to Gallifrey like you did in Deadly Assassin, we end up having references to the effects of the Time Lords on cultures outside of Gallifrey. Look at The Brain of Morbius, Sisterhood of Karn, another Terrence Dix script, the bland one. I mean, the Robin bland one. Also, you have Underworld, the Minions, and they, of course, are referenced again in the first series of the Gallifrey audios that follow Zagreus, which Zagreus has references to State of Decay in it. Now, Adam had mentioned that Romana being president of the Time Lords was something from Big Finish. I'm afraid I have to correct you on that. Actually, it appears in the Eighth Doctor novels first, and in the novels, Gallifrey actually gets destroyed a couple of times. You actually have a second Gallifrey that appears in those. There's a great book, which is a history. I think it's now even in a more recent edition, because the edition I have has Mona Lisa on the cover, which kind of talks about the history of Doctor Who, or at least the timelines of events in the Doctor Who universe from all media, comics, novels, audios, and Lord knows I don't have time to read a whole bunch of the novels either. But there's novels, Big Finish, and everything else thrown at you at the same time. Favorite parts from State of Decay, of course, when Tom Baker delivers his line of, you know, the great vampire should be destroyed at any cost, destroyed even at the cost of a Time Lord's life. Oh, I loved that. That was a great performance. And this is the story in which Lala Ward, during the process of filming of State of Decay, actually agrees to marry Tom Baker. Now, from what I understand, and you can read it in several source books, that from Peter Moffat was commenting that there were stretches where Tom and Lala didn't get along at all, and you can see that in the performances when they won't make eye contact, even though there are great performances from both of them in this story. And there's other times in which the chemistry is very much similar to what you saw in Series 17. So it's kind of neat to see kind of their complex and troubled relationship, because I think their marriage only lasted about 6 months. And Tom Baker, I think if you've ever watched the BBC video, the VHS of the Tom Baker years, he kind of jokes and giggles that Lala Ward left Doctor Who for an even bigger monster, and he laughed and says, "Me!" And so I thought that was kind of funny if you've ever seen that. So, sorry to ramble on a bit, and looking forward to the discussions on Modern Undead. Not one of my favorite Patty Kingsland scores, to be honest, and not even one of my favorite stories, but to be honest, Series 18 is a favorite of mine from the era, and it's weird because I read all of the program guide up till the end of Tom Baker before I saw Legopolis, and it's weird because Peter Davison didn't really grab me. I mean, I watched through Castrovalva, watched little bits of Series 19. Kinda did not grab me at the time, but it's a story I like a great deal more now. I think, like Kinda, stories like Warrior's Gate really push the envelope of what Doctor Who can be. And I appreciate when Doctor Who tries to be ambitious, even when it doesn't always succeed. I find that it's great. And yes, Adam was correct that Graham Harper worked on
Warrior's Gate and directed parts of it uncredited. So that's another little detail for you. And if you guys ever get around to doing Leisure Hive, I need to be in on that. It's one of my favorites, and it's kind of like the same sort of turn to the serious that Doctor Who did between Robot and Ark in Space is Series 17 to Leisure Hive is why it's one of the stories that really grabs me. Another note on Paddy Kingsland, besides the fact that you can always hear an interview with him on the Adventure Tosis music feed, is that he helped Peter Howell kind of like give him feedback as he was doing his version of the theme. And while many people often will describe the Series 18 credits as seeming very Peter Davison, I don't know. I just like seeing Tom Baker's face, and I love the burgundy costume. I love the burgundy scarf. And I kind of look at the Davison ones as kind of a watered-down version of Series 18, to be honest. The title sequence, that is. But that's just personal opinion. Everyone has their doctor, and I believe 5 is Adams. So, you know, it's you know, this is where it always gets complicated, right? Because my favorite television doctor was Tom. Favorite audio doctor is Colin Baker. Favorite new series doctor so far seems to be Smith, but we'll see what happens. We finally are getting on the verge of a new era, so I'm excited. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on Modern Undead. Sorry to be so long-winded this week. Bye.
Talk about so long-winded, I do apologise for Magic's bowels.
thank you, Philip.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Phil, for your blasting out of ears. And I'd like to say, hang on, let me finish. Just want to, I do not advocate driving and providing feedback for Doctor Who podcasts, so please be careful out there. Yes, Kirby?
It was great, though, wasn't it?
Oh, damn, I just closed down the feedback page. Yeah, go on.
Tom Baker and Lala Ward's marriage lasted 16 months, not 6.
What? What does that really matter? You interrupted me just to tell me that. For goodness sake, Ben,
well,
have a go.
I had to correct Dr. Phil.
I thought it was 15 months, 3 weeks.
Right.
I've been picky.
Right. Mary, on Facebook, there's a bit of literature from Matthew Kressel. Would you mind, please, reading it out?
There is.
I think you'll find it under the 20 megabyte crew thing, maybe. It is. It's there.
Oh, it's in the messages.
Oh, yes,
news,
it is.
Bad news, yeah.
Good news, bad news. Good news is Matthew's provided us with feedback.
There it is. Okay.
Bad news, it's quite long.
The bad news is that I'm adding another page to the 20 megabyte book of excuses.
Reasons.
I'm running a fever at the moment and have a sinus headache from hell and am not in much mood to talk. Having spent the last 2 days working on the Con Casterbura schedule and having to rearrange.
Still managed to get a plug in. Yeah, go on.
And having to rearrange part of the viewing room, I haven't had time to watch Greatest Show again anyways. Which brings me to the good news.
Right.
20 Megabyte Live is on the cards for sure, with it being in what we're calling Panel Room 1, Sunday the 29th of June from 2 to 4 p.m. following a Big Finish panel in the same room.
Oh, I should be home by then.
In fact, the recording will be the last panel in that room. We'll inform the guests about the podcast and, their time permitting, they should be on the show, hopefully.
Hey.
Sorry I'm missing yet again. Happy birthday to you, Adam, and happy 4th birthday to 20 Megabyte. And now I'm off to bed.
Good night.
Aww.
See, I thought that we were going to get a review of Greatest Show the Galaxy from him.
You did?
Yeah, when you said that he left something that I thought,
I thought that too.
There's a review somewhere.
So did I, but I didn't read it. I never read these things. I like to be surprised by them, like Ben's appearances on the show. Yes. Right, I got an email from Ian. I don't know if it's supposed to be read out or not. It says, I am fine. Hope you're fine. It's a good that you're fine and I'm fine. Apparently that's... it's the script. Oh, so we actually play the feedback. What? Yes?
Ian's got a long script that he must have sent you a recording.
He has sent me a recording, but I didn't know if there was one that came without a recording. This is the one that came with the recording.
Working.
Yeah. Wow.
Hang on.
Today is there 139.
I want
It is 139 days since Doctor Who was shown on Christmas Day.
Hang on, I've got to turn it up now.
New Who has usually been shown at Easter, but Easter has come and gone. Are we gruntled, or are we disgruntled? Disgruntled. There's a rumour that it will return on day 192, which is a holiday in the USA. I doubt it. I think they have all of the US market they are likely to get. Perhaps they should chase the emerging market in China. They could change the spelling to Dr. H-U. I went outside on day 137. It rained very heavily and I got wet. Why do they say it was bouncing down? It was bouncing an inch back up. Mm-hmm. On day 131 I read Winnie the Pooh. I'm worried about Eeyore. Perhaps they could prescribe him some Prozac. On day 133, I decided what is wrong with the fourth Doctor. He cannot have the hair of the dog because K9 hasn't got any.
Magic has, though. Mm. And a smelly arse.
Day 140 is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Day 138 was Adam Pearson's birthday. Many happy returns.
Thank you, Ian.
I see the Austrians have won Eurovision.
Oh, God.
What are they doing in Eurovision?
Having beards.
Are they the ones like Arnold Schwarzenegger? Or the ones like Janet Fielding?
No, the ones like Kenny Everett.
I get those two countries mixed up. I'll be back. Bruce? Bruce Willis. Struth, they get the accents mixed up as well. Bruce, nice to see you. To see you nice. Can you tell what it is yet?
Easy.
How about Eve Miles? Cardiff is in the Valley of the Kings, see? No, I can't do Eve Miles.
Clearly.
On day 268, there will be a referendum in Scotland. Mm. The North is to decide whether to secede from the Union. That kind of thing has not always gone well in the past. Mm-hmm. The greatest show in the galaxy. Like the Trial of a Time Lord, this is a self-reference to the TV show itself. Like Vengeance on Varos, it has an audience who consumes suffering as entertainment. Varos had Colin Baker's Doctor, and Nicola Bryant as Perry. Ah, Perry.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Had her in the circus story.
Nicholas Dawkes.
There are different types of clown. Here we have an aristocratic clown, not your average bozo. Spam by robots. Spam, spam, spam. This is not the same without Robert Haynes.
No.
Get well soon. The scenery looks like Austria, where they shot the Mad Max films. I could almost hear Mel Gibson singing The Hills Are Alive. Captain Cook is a sort of anti-doctor.
Confused.
He's boastful and cowardly, and willing to sacrifice his companion to save his own skin. As in a lot of stories, the aliens are the hunters, and the Doctor and his companion are the quarry. That is why they filmed him. In another story, Ace uses Flower Child's gold earring to kill a Cyberman. That story was shown before this, so it was not mentioned where she got the earring.
Mm.
In Ghostlight, the Doctor took Ace to an old mansion that she had burned down earlier in her personal timeline. She was very angry with him then, but now they're getting on like a house on fire. It turns out the trouble was caused by monsters who demand to be entertained. Do they mean us? Mm-hmm. Well, the BBC management.
Ah.
It's the circus, the BBC.
Could be.
You have the right to remain silent.
Just did.
If you give up that right, send audio to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Oh, good, that saves me doing it.
Exercise your right under the Ninth Amendment. Fifth Amendment. Wait, Wikipedia. Right, it's the First Amendment, not the Fifth. Your founding fathers placed the right to free speech way above the right to know when to keep quiet. I suppose that is why you now have the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the size of that thing. Yes, Jamie, it is over 5.5 minutes. It is a podcast birthday, after all. By way of a celebration. Jamie, do me a favour. Hop in the TARDIS to 2015 and get the result of the Scottish referendum.
Mm.
Let's see if Peter Capaldi will still be British. Who was it who said, always leave them wanting more?
Me.
Ah, Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
That's it for feedback.
Master.
Oh, what now?
What now is, before we have the quiz,
yes.
Can you excuse me for a quick break?
Are you rebooting again?
Back in
no,
the flash?
I'm not rebooting. I have to go excuse
and visit
myself.
A certain place in the
yes.
House.
Thank you.
Okay, so he's just off to the shed. All right, okay, well, that's the end of Kirby. All right, then, in that case, let's see what we got on the news front. I've just pressed a button I didn't need to press. What do you think of that feedback, then, Ben?
Oh, feedback, seriously, wow. I mean, I'm so pleased that I'm here. I found some news for you.
Oh, go on, then, please. Please provide me some news.
Okay, well, this disappeared at 0038 BST this morning. So this is as hot off the press as it gets when we're doing a podcast on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Is that former Spooks star, yeah. Hermione Norris, will
oh, yes,
star
yes.
in Doctor Who?
Yes.
I don't know who she is. Morning.
But she was on that that series with Sir Anne Jones that's currently on, where on the nurses in the war.
Crimson Field, is
that's
that
the
it?
One. Yeah. Pretty sure Crimson she's in that. Field. And she was also yeah. in an ITV series.
She's Spooks.
Probably.
Yeah, she yeah. was in Spooks, yeah. yeah. Apparently, Warren the BBC have confirmed that Series 8, an episode of Series 8, is going to be set in Lanzarote.
Oh, well, is it going to be called Planet of Death?
Well, no.
Or even Planet of Fire, I get that one right. Thor!
Stephen Moffat, love him, says it's a testament to the quality of Peter Harness's intense and emotional script that we've been able to attract the actress of the brilliance of Hermione Norris. And for the first time since 1984, the Doctor Who production team is heading to Lanzarote. Freebie! Doctor Who is returning to the scene of an. This is the interesting bit. The Doctor is returning to the scene of an old adventure. But there have been sinister changes since his last visit.
Like his face.
And then, I'm looking at this on Digital Spy, and then underneath that, there's a little video clip of Perry in her swimming costume.
Which is,
you might be wondering why I've been quiet for the half hour. That's why. That's just been on repeat. This has been great. The last Doctor Who story set in Lanzarote was, as Adam mentioned minutes ago several times, Planet of Fire, which saw the fifth Doctor take on his arch nemesis, the Master, who apparently could also be back in Series 8, being played by someone else from some other TV programme.
Well, they have a regeneration if they do that.
Well, they'll probably do it off screen, won't they? Because they'll probably just have this bloke turn up and the Doctor goes, oh, I can
see. And you won't know who he is. But you
exactly.
Will,
and,
spoil
the,
it.
And the Master won't know who the Doctor is because they've both changed.
Yes.
So that could be really intensely interesting for at least 30 seconds. and then it goes on to say that Ben Miller and Tom Riley, I don't know who Tom Riley is, will also be in this series, as well as Keely Hawes, who's got a great
name. I like Keely Hawes, she's quite nice looking.
But she's a bit of a...
what? An actress?
Keely. She's definitely a Keely, yeah, yeah. And there was also stories earlier in the, well, in the last couple of days... saying that it's going to next series is going to start in July, which
oh, hope so.
Yeah, I'd seen that.
Well, that'd be yeah, nice.
I don't see that happening. I'm probably.
No, I thought they were going to move to September, so people were going to be in, you know, as opposed to in their garden doing barbecues. But,
yeah, like school's back and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
The only problem is being that whenever you put it on, people are generally going to record it and watch it when they like. So I don't think it's a major issue what time they have it on anymore.
No, I agree. These days, showrunners over the last 8 years have all said, since you know the technology of the iPlayer coming along and stuff like that, you can now watch it when you want, and you normally get I think the average for last series was you got an extra million views on YouTube and around other bits on the internet after it's been put out. So the figures that they actually put out as the viewing figures when it goes out live don't actually reflect how many people watch it now anyway.
Indeed.
So, but I'll be surprised if it's July, because that's, you know, end of school term over in here in Great Britain.
Pasta.
Thank you. And, and then everyone will be going off on summer holiday. Everyone in Britain goes on summer holidays then. Everyone. The whole country's deserted.
That's it, yeah, we've all gone. Yeah.
If you're a burglar and you want to burgle stuff, come to Britain in July and August, because no everyone's on holiday. No one's ever in. So I won't. Yeah, I think it'll probably wait till everyone's back at school in September. And but the thing is with that, if they run it from September, then it's going to be 12 or 13 weeks non-stop. So that's the whole of September, October, and November, which then means we've had a 15 and a half year gap since the Christmas episode, and then we'll have about 15 minutes until the next Christmas episode. So they need to split it up a bit more, I think. But you know, that's just my personnel views.
There's not a lot of other news, to be honest with you. Master? Yes, Kirby?
I came in at the tail end of that, but I assume we're talking... That was a reference to the article from Ben Wheatley, the director, who said that the show was going to premiere in July.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was.
Well, that was tough, yeah.
Something that people keep missing, and I believe even Matthew pointed this out over in another Facebook group. That article... It's from February.
No.
And it's really, really old news and cannot be taken seriously at all.
Okay. I take everything seriously.
Yeah. I think that's unlikely, Ben.
That's what's so attractive about you, Ben.
July is simply not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Considering they're still actually in production at the moment, it's too quick a turn.
I agree.
Yeah, didn't they just announce a couple more writers for this series?
Unlikely to be in July, shall we say.
So I think it will more likely be September.
No, I think you're right, and I hope you're right. I think it's
well, especially if they're going to run all the episodes without a break, they'd have to start later.
I agree. Anyway, moving on, more news. Apparently there's a competition to win a Weeping Angel costume that's been run by Doctor Who News and Joker's Masquerade. So if you want to enter that, you have to go to DoctorWhoNews.net and click on the available links for it. And talking of competitions, our lovely sponsors, Lavazzi, are providing us with a prize for a competition, and that is a Dalek scarf of your colour choice. So basically, when the competition is run, they will send the winner this scarf, so I'm not going to get my hands on it. What we need to do...
Give us
and Magic's let another one go, and it's stunk the whole room out, and he's lying there quite innocently. At least, we don't know, it might be Star, actually. They're both lying together. It really isn't very nice. But look, I can taste it, because I'm talking.
You've got that eggy that fresh taste in your mouth. Like you've been up the top of a volcano.
It's really bad.
Sulfur coming.
Yeah. Just talking about planet of fire as well.
Like sitting in a room with me after I've had an omelette.
Yeah. Anyway, so basically we need to run a competition and decide what we're going to do in regards to this. I think maybe a question might be a good way of doing this.
You know, that's a really good idea, Adam. If you're going to run a competition, generally a question is something that needs to be part of.
Shall we do it like ITV do it? Ask some ridiculously easy questions.
Yeah. All right, hold on.
The 12th Doctor? Is it David Cameron?
Matt Smith. David Moyes. Yeah. See the third hair on my left eyebrow.
Or four, Peter Capaldi. How do you say it, Capaldi? It's too complicated a name. We'll have to get rid of him, so we'll get a name like Smith. It's much easier to pronounce. Yeah, so that's probably good. This is the question, right? So please email your answers in to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And you can win.
20mb.
No, mb.
Then George.shoveler.
Email your questions in.
Send questions. Answers. Note to Ben Shoveler.
Oh, shut up, you're putting me off. I've got a quiz to do in a minute.
If you're American, then you can send it on dollars, because I'm going to Disneyland in 90 days time and I could do with some American money. So
I thought you were going to Disney World.
Yes, I'm going to that one too. Right. Yes, it is Disney World. Sorry, Adam.
I haven't done the question yet. I'm just explaining.
It's actually Walt Disney World.
I hate to interrupt because I know this is obviously
a big Walt's name in it.
Yeah, he's been planning this for a long time, so we shouldn't interrupt him. We should let Adam, you know, say the question without any further ado. So, Adam, take it away.
Right then.
More talking over Adam while he's waiting to do the question. It's important, people, so silence, silence.
Thank you very much. Right.
Foster, I think we need some scarves too.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to say. So
this question is very important.
It is going to be to the winner of this quiz. To it. Send your answers in to 20M. What?
Nothing.
20mb.feedback@gmail.com. The question is this.
Well, now, Ben, have you been given a preview of this question? What? Is that what you're cutting us down?
That's not the question!
Yes, that is the question.
The question is, Doctor, answer
your answers to the previous email address. Have I been given
a preview,
on the question. Yeah, that is the question. Yes, no, or Peter Capaldi. There are your three choices.
All right.
Good, it's not your birthday or anything. We're ruining it for you, Adam, isn't it?
I'm trying to think of it. Oh, Debbie, think of a question.
I thought you already had one.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go to one of my random old quiz questions that we did on a previous
episode. How about
this question,
Adam?
Yeah, go on.
What is K9's real name?
No,
is it
a stupid
K7, B, K8, or C, K9?
Apparently, according to magic. Wow,
shut up!
That couldn't have been, all right.
Sorry. Right, but I think he got the right answer.
I think he did. So the winner of the gold is that star or party.
Right then. What Doctor Who story features a character called Jago? Simple one.
Is that Jago Unchained?
Coming through that. Oh, what now? No, you can't enter the competition.
No, I'm not answering. I think you need to be more specific because that could apply to Big Finish.
All right, what television story features a character called Jago? For goodness sake.
Do you see why we don't do competition very often?
Exactly. Right.
Question number two is, which way did Jay go?
It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One, and you probably won't. Ben, have you got Wikipedia open?
Which TV serial had a character called Jago?
First question goes to
Adam,
Ben.
Would you like to answer that one?
No, Ben.
Yes.
You'll never get this one.
No, make it easy then.
Well, I won't because I can't. This is what the order in the quiz can be. I need a cup of tea. What book was the Doctor referring to while Ace was looking for her Nitro 9? You won't get this one. Was it Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone?
Yeah.
Juggling for the Complete Klutz.
Right.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Or the Bible.
The second one.
The second one. Is the correct answer.
Well, I think I deserve 10 points for that.
Debbie.
Yes.
Master, I have that book. I still can't juggle.
Debbie, how did Ace refer to the little robot that appears inside the TARDIS?
Junk mail.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
What is the name of the planet where the psychic circus is?
Saganax, that's right.
That'll do. Near enough. Mary.
Well, what is it, if I'm wrong?
Saganax.
It is Saganax.
You said Saganax. Well, I'll let you have the points anyway. Yeah, right. Mary, what didn't the circus that Ace last visited have?
Oh, man.
Candy floss.
I know.
Kirby knows.
I don't know.
Ooh, go on then, Kirby.
Tigers.
Correct. Yeah. Ben.
Yes.
What is the name of the woman travelling around with Bellboy at the beginning of the story? Is it Bell Girl? Flower Girl?
Yes.
Hat Girl? Or Foot Girl?
Yes, it
is. None of those. It was none of those.
What did I say?
Flower Girl.
Child. Sorry. There's child at the end of each of those. Sorry.
I'll go for Flower Child.
Take a point for that, thank you.
I am really good at this. Isn't
we had a girl on here. That's not my fault. That was the iPad's fault. Right.
Shut up! Sorry, it's only the lovely. Come on, the podcast.
That's right.
Oh, right, Gavin, where did we get up to?
He sure knows how to treat his fellow podcasters.
Where did we get up to? It's disgraceful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So come on, we give our time for free.
Right, that's right.
Yes.
Not you.
I'll take a scarf.
I'll take my usual £20 an hour.
Shut up!
Don't tell anyone else.
Magic.
Debbie, what colours are the kites that were tracking Bellboy? Points for each.
Pink and yellow?
I got yellow, that's a point. Anybody get the colour of the other one?
Blue?
No, well, the answer was green. Kirby?
Master?
What? Oh, I've done that one. What is the name of the man with the bike? And you get an extra point if you get his full title. It's gone very quiet.
I've forgotten.
Okay, anybody?
Nord.
The Hellboy?
Oh, hang on, no. Debbie said Nord. Have you got the full title? You get an extra point?
Oh. Something of the galaxy.
Nord Vandal of the Roads. Mary.
Jeez. Yes.
What does the bus conductor say when he grabs Flower Child's? What have I got a girl down here? What does the bus conductor say when he grabs Flower Child's throat? I know you know, Kirby. Yes, go on, Mary.
I don't remember.
Anybody? Oh, that'd be
tight,
Kirby.
Please.
That'll do. Ben!
Yes!
After eating their meal on the roadside stall and the departure of Nord... Who does the Doctor and Ace meet next? You can get 2 points for either or both.
And my options are?
This is a bit too easy for extra options. You must remember the characters from the story that you have watched.
The question again was after eating their food.
Yeah. And the Rose Star Stall, the departure of Nord. Who do they meet? You get 2 points even if you mention one of them because I'm being very kind today.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to go for WizKid Nord, Morgana, Deadbeat, Bus Conductor, Captain Cook.
I'll give you a point for that.
Yay!
Mags and Captain Cook.
I dedicate that point to the
video. Right.
You know, it just took me about 5 minutes to remember which episode you're actually talking about.
Yes.
Not that I'm looking at Wikipedia, definitely not.
What is from Grotz Valley... in Melegathon.
Tea?
Correct. Well, specifically the tea that
the Doctor and Captain Kirby.
Master?
I've lost where I was. Oh, yeah. Who came from the planet Volpana?
The werewolf girl. What's her name? Mags?
That's it, yes. The werewolf girl. Mary, you haven't asked any questions yet because you haven't got any points. What's going on? Oh, yeah, you haven't watched it, have you? Right. Mary, what is the name of the lady that sold tickets to the Psychic Circus? We have mentioned it in the review, so...
Is it that Morgana?
It is.
All right.
Ben?
Can you ask me what the name of the magician was who did the magic tricks? Because I remember that.
No. Ben, no, I'll give you a few goes at this until you get it right. What? Not necessarily.
You sound like the wife.
All right, now. What is the first tarot card that Morgana shows the Doctor?
Death.
I know.
No. One more go.
I know.
Life?
No. Go on in, Kirby.
A killer robot.
I mentioned it before. It's the Hanged Man, which he then, in the fourth episode...
rather than the Hung Man. Yes.
Well, hold on a minute. I should get...
No, it's called the Hanged Man.
I know! I was being...
A Hanged Man is like death.
It's a death card. It is one of the death cards. But
so therefore
not.
I'll have my...
No. It is the death card.
Never mind. Mary.
I would think that the card that is death is the death card.
Mary.
Don't spoil the quiz.
Oh, Mary. I think that's your question. I've lost track of where we are. Whose question is it?
Who was it last?
Who was that last question Ben, aimed at? It was Ben, wasn't it?
It was Ben.
Right, so therefore it's Debbie's go. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Alright. What does the little girl ask Daddy for?
An ice cream?
Correct. Kirby. What did the doctor think was remarkable about the circus?
I don't remember.
Does anybody remember?
Candy floss.
No.
That it was creepy.
No.
What was that?
Memorial stones. Oh, what was that? It's got a vibration on the table. So, Mary.
Yes.
What was WizKid... What has, sorry, WizKid come halfway across to get to the psychic circus?
Autographs?
Pardon? No, what's he... In his journey, what's he travelled halfway across to get to the psychic circus?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay. The planet.
No, anybody?
I know.
Go on in, Kirby.
The Southern Nebula.
It is the Southern Nebula. The scores then, therefore, at the moment, are in last place with 2 points, and two remarkable points, has to be said, Mary.
Yes.
In third place with 5 points, Ben. And joint leaders with 8 points is Debbie and Kirby. And this question goes to Ben.
Master.
Oh, what now? Yes.
I was prepared for with all of WizKid's quotes.
Were you?
I needed them this morning.
Splendid. Good, right. Well, are you prepared for this
one? Can you ask me what was Deadbeat once known as?
Right then, this is a good one for you.
Okay.
Right. Yep. You'd have to know an old series set in Liverpool called Brookside.
I love Brookside.
Right. What did Ace call every robot, and it's also the hard nut that used to be in Brookside?
The hard nut.
The little tough boy that used to be in Brookside. It's also his name.
Is it Stephen Gerrard's never won a Premiership title, but Luke Chadwick has got more Premiership winners' medals than
him? No, it isn't. Does anybody else know?
Yes, I remember, actually. I know it's coming. Just give me a sec. I really do know this.
He's madly looking at Wikipedia.
No, I'm not. I'm not like that. Here are my hands here. Look, my hands are here. My hands. Computer's over here. My hands are here. No, because I do know this.
It's a great visual. Where are your hands?
And time's up. Does anybody else know?
That's what she said.
The other one, yes, well, she did. The other one's on your microphone. And, you're going to tell me and I'm going
to... Yes, it's Tinhead is the answer to that one.
Tinhead.
Right. Yes, Debbie.
Yes.
Who saved Ace from the robots?
Yes. Bellboy.
Yes, it was. Kirby.
Asta.
What is Ace's evaluation of Bellboy's control unit? One word.
I'm going to say it was Fab.
No. Anybody?
Ace.
No.
Brill.
Yes. Mary.
Yeah, what is going on? I'm hearing all kinds
of... My beautiful wife is currently doing
like
up her,
is packing for
her
a
work container.
It's a huge suitcase.
Right,
No, come on.
I don't want any rude comments now on that.
No rude comments, don't worry.
Whose go is it?
You've come to the wrong place if you want rude comments.
So this is Mary's go. What town links Matt Smith to Jan Samarco? The actor who plays WizKid.
What
town links Matt Smith to Jan Samarco, who is the actor who plays WizKid?
Oh, Lord, I have no idea.
Well, does anybody else know? Go on in, Ben. Yeah,
I do.
Go on, Ben.
Because he was the person who played Adrian Mole.
He was, yes.
And he was born in...
Where's that Wikipedia when you need it, huh?
Right in front of me. Northampton.
Yes, Northampton is the correct answer.
Because right. That's where my brother lives, you see, and that's how I remembered it, and not Wikipedia.
Yeah, okay.
So right. Clicking on the
Ben.
Yes.
What do the squids of Anagonia? How am I supposed to say that? What do the squids of Anagonia do according to Captain Cook? Do they dance, sing, laugh, or play chess?
They laugh.
No.
Singing
anybody?
While playing chess.
No. Anyway, sing says Kirby, and sing is the correct answer. Right then. Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
According to the doctor, the captain is not only a scoundrel and a middling fool, but what else?
Crushing ball.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
How did Kingpin cure himself? Should know this one.
Did he get a strike?
Kingpin. Yes. How did he cure himself?
I think I know that.
Oh, I don't. But he's not dead.
I didn't say make himself alive. I said cure himself.
Make himself alive.
Well, you know what I mean.
Is that what Doctor's saying? I'm going to make him alive.
I'll be quiet.
Are you talking about looking into the well?
No, Debbie.
Putting the thing back in his
amulet. Yes, put his thing back in his amulet.
That's
the eye, that's right.
Mary.
Mary.
That was the sense of birth.
It's unlike you to talk innuendo.
And hopefully keeping it zipped, too.
Mary. Yes. So I do apologise, Ben.
My ears. I'm sorry. I'm massively offended.
poor delicate Ben.
Right then. Mary.
Yes.
According to the Doctor, I've done that one, I'll move on. What is the last we see of the Ringmaster and Morgana?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what Debbie said about they going to wicker baskets?
Yes, it is!
Thank you, Debbie.
Right, the current scores are, with hardly any questions left, in last place for 4 remarkable points, Mary, I should really give a double.
In third place
with 6 points is Ben, in second place with 9 points is Kirby, and in the lead, and no, she's not looking over my shoulder, it's Debbie with 14. Right, Ben.
Yay.
Hello.
What are the 3 people in the audience actually in the story? And you should know this one because it's a main crux of the story.
I know.
I know you know. I'm asking Ben the question.
You say I should know where the last time I said I watched this episode was 1987, which is impossible because it was actually 1988 that it was on. Not that I've looked at Wiki for that. But so what was the question?
What are the 3 people in the audience actually in the story? What they turn out to be?
What do the 3 people?
He's desperately looking at Wiki, isn't he? Kirby knows what I know afterwards.
What do the 3 people in the audience? So you're asking me what the 3 people?
Yes, I am indeed. Yes,
in the audience. Glad you.
I'm the one asking the questions.
Are they actually the gods of Rangrang?
No, yeah, that'll do. 2 points. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
It's so hard to try and read the film at the same time.
What is the first act the Doctor does for the gods of that Ragnarok?
The first
act. First, I don't know the answer.
Isn't the juggling?
No. Mm. Anybody?
Isn't it the eggs from the mouth?
It is eggs from the mouth. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What, according to the Doctor, do the gods of Ragnarok not possess in great abundance?
What, according to the Doctor, do the gods of Ragnarok not possess in great abundance?
Oh,
imagination.
Correct.
Imagination.
Mary.
Yes.
Imagination.
How did the Doctor destroy the gods?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with that eye thing?
Yes, with the eye thing, indeed.
Yeah.
And there's one more question.
Which you seem to have forgotten about when we were actually talking about the story.
Right, there's one more question, a free-for-all, and I've got a hazard a guess that Ben's unlikely to get this one.
Depends how fast you can read the wiki thing.
What was the Doctor's thoughts on circuses at the end of the story?
Sinister.
Oh, there we go, there he gets in with the answer. And the final scores are in last place with 6 points. Say, should we double Mary's? Because she didn't watch it at all, although she should have done.
Yes.
So she now comes up to 12 points.
Oh, God!
Oh, my goodness.
In last place, therefore, with 8 points.
Points for no reason.
is Ben with 8 points.
My points, because I've never watched it.
In joint second place, with 12 points each, is Kirby and Mary. And the winner this week, with 16 points, and she gets to keep the scores again, it's Debbie with 16, who is now the new Matthew.
Yay,
Debbie.
I'm the new Matthew.
And if Matthew had been here,
my
8
points
won.
Doubled.
Do you want your points doubled?
Yes,
if it did, you would have got 16 points, which is joint leader.
Yeah, but then I'd be tied.
Doubled plus 1, I
can
think.
I have
no,
double?
Not gonna... No, right.
17! Winner!
So that's sort of essentially it, because Debbie, the boss one, says so. Is that the end of the show, Deb?
Yes.
Yes, it's the end of the show.
Right.
What haven't we done? I thought we'd done everything. We haven't mentioned the sponsor. Did you say sponsor?
I did say sponsor.
Well, we also need...
But who's the sponsor then, Deb?
I haven't got bloody clue.
Whowon.co.uk. Actually, they have...
Is that whowon.co.uk?
I've just got time to mention them. We have mentioned Avazi. I said, don't forget the competition. And the question was...
Next week.
What's happening next week, then?
Doctor Who and the Silurians.
Oh, it's a blooming 6-7 parter. I can't fit that into my busy schedule.
No, we've got weddings to do. Sorry.
I will be watching it though.
No, you won't.
I'll bring my notes. When
you
are we recording?
It, I'm
yeah, when are we recording then?
I'm in hospital next Monday.
Too busy with weddings.
Well,
Well, can we do it Sunday?
Dunno.
No, I cannot.
Oh, right, we'll definitely do it on Monday then.
Okay.
I'm only joking. Yes?
Adam, if you haven't got time to watch it, just read the Wikipedia page, seriously, it gets you through all kinds of
things. I can't do it Sunday, I've got a bridal show, Deb's just reminded me.
Well, I will leave some feedback for you then.
Thank you, Debbie.
we better get one of the other lazy people in.
We've got a wedding show next Sunday,
Adam. I'm unfortunately in hospital.
You can always do it on Tuesday.
Take your antibacterial wipers, won't you?
Yeah,
well, Not exactly hygienic.
Maybe Tuesday's an option. And hey, Mary.
Hospital bed.
Yeah.
Mary.
Yes.
Tuesday?
Tuesday's the same as Monday, yeah.
Pencil in Tuesday.
I could probably do Tuesday. I'll do it from home.
Even from home?
Yes, okay. I should be out that night.
Oh, that's feasible. We could aim for Tuesday.
Tuesday. Not tomorrow.
That would give you a chance, Adam, to watch the 7 episodes.
It gives me a chance, yes. A thin chance. Or even a slim chance.
Miss synopsis, don't
but I will try. I have to watch an episode
song
a day.
Is Tuesday, Tuesday.
Not that far behind.
Yeah,
By the way, whowon.co.uk have the heat reveal mug, which is you pour hot water or hot tea into it and the TARDIS appears. Oh. I want one.
$14.99.
Are you doing it? Anyway, that's
I already have one of those.
I do apologise. The dog has been stinking the room out, something chronic. And not you. Well, it might have been you. We don't know. Somebody's been doing some terrible smells.
Oh, it's him. He's a stinky buddy. Yes, you could look at me like that, you smelly git.
Yeah. He is an accomplished smell maker.
I think he was talking to you, Adam.
Ben just said, I think she was talking to you, Adam.
Yes, yeah, it's true.
Until next week, well, I say next Tuesday, that's the end of our birthday episode. Thanks for all the messages and keep sending them in. Don't forget the competition. I've forgotten the question already.
Do we have any new people?
I don't know. I don't think we did, actually. People have stopped. Somebody did actually try, but I couldn't see any Doctor Who stuff on their timeline, so I haven't accepted their membership yet. But please join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Yes, Ben.
Has anyone sung happy birthday to you yet?
If I say yes, I'll stop them from doing it, won't it?
No, it won't. Has anyone sung it to you yet?
Nobody has.
No, but they plan to this evening when I have my birthday cake, Deb.
I was going to say good, because we're not going to.
Happy birthday. Oh, yeah.
What? So, yeah, tonight. I'm getting that tonight.
There's birthday cake. What are you
talking about? Hey, everyone. Everyone who's not Adam, what we're going to do, right, is we're going to pretend we're going to sing to him. We'll say 1, 2, 3, and then we'll all hang up.
Right, okay. Well, I can hang up.
1, 2, 3.
Anyway, I'm getting glared at, so that therefore means it's time for the end of the show. And thanks for listening. Thanks for joining in, and see you again on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye,
Elton. Bye-bye.
Bye, Elton.
Bye, Elton.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Right, that's it then. Dev's got to go, and apparently I've got to go to Newport. Hang on, Mary's gone.
Mary, when? Mary just left.